Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yeah, I survived the hurricane. Sorry to anybody that hates my guts. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex. Rest in peace, Bobby Heenan.
And...
Oh, Morgan, what the hell happened since you were gone?
I don't know, man!
A lot of things, apparently.
It was so terrible. There were long stretches of time when I had no access to internet. I couldn't see if the memes were still dank.
And apparently we got one meme that I don't get, which is kind of stupid, which the elf on the shelf or something, I don't know. The elf on the shelf, Rob on a cob, Alex on the, I don't know what rhymes with your name.
Nothing rhymes with my name. It's like orange.
Hey, that's not true. Door hinge rhymes with orange.
That's two words. Doesn't count.
Actually, yes, it does. I mean, who the hell said that it had to be a hard rhyme? Don't recall seeing that anywhere, man. But, if you've been wondering what my week's been like, and this will probably take up most of the formalities. Okay, so, the hurricane, like, you know, it was obviously coming here, up and up. It actually hit directly, I want to say in the middle of the night on Sunday, so like, probably sometime after 1 a.m., because I know I went to sleep at that point, because I just wanted to fucking, you know, sleep. And the power went out at about 6 a.m. Well, okay, more like 6:30, I think, at the latest. And so I was just spending the entire day inside the goddamn house, waiting for the storm to blow over. I watched some BoJack Horseman, because I downloaded the new season off of Netflix. My laptop only had enough power for the first 10 episodes. So, you know, I'm just killing time here, playing some shit. I ran out of power on basically all my devices that I had charged. Then Monday rolls around, you know, sun's out, and we're able to go out and assess the damage. There was fucking down trees and signs and shit everywhere, including two giant trees, no more than 30 seconds from my house, blocking the route that I take to fucking work. Yeah, and so, you know, just driving around, seeing what all the damage is like. We even went to the backyard and saw that the power line, okay, because the power lines, one of them is on, like, this giant pole. That pole had apparently, like, snapped significantly. Like, didn't break, like, it didn't, like, full-on tip over, but it snapped enough to be noticeable. The actual power line that was, or at least one of them, there were a few that was kind of, like, dangling down to the ground. The lowest was about my height off the ground, and just for reference, I'm, like, 5'3". 5'3½", let's say. So, you know, that day was just, you know, desperately trying to fight off the boredom and the cabin fever and all. Thankfully, the day after, the library at my university was open, so I was able to, you know, go there, charge all my shit, so that way I could start, you know, having some charge and shit. Not to mention finally having access to internet, where I could, you know, finish up the rest of my Netflix stuff. And just for the record, the Netflix stuff I downloaded offline was BoJack, Castlevania, Voltron, and Little Witch Academia. God, what else? You know, just trying to catch up on some music, you know, communicate with people whenever I could. Then I believe Thursday? I want to say it was Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, we ended up going to a cruise ship because my sister, like, works for the company, so they were able to rent out, like, a cabin for a couple days to sleep, you know, charge, have air conditioning, access to memes. And yes, the elf on a shelf meme is dumb. So it was that for a couple days, then we ended up transferring to this little, like, mini hotel thing where, like, you know, my parents had rented out. Then we ended up leaving on a Saturday, you know, tried to get a credit for the total number of days rented because reasons. Then, you know, I was back at the library again, just because I needed a place with air conditioning. I couldn't bother staying in the house. And then, by the time I left the library, because they closed at, like, 5 p.m., I got the message that finally we had fucking power again. Which, thank God for that. Now I can be in my room, you know, watching the tsunamis and making my own dank memes and, catching up on other shit. Man, that was a long fucking week, I tell you what. Oh, and there was also a little bit of a funny story. So, on a Wednesday, I tried to kill some time that day by going down to the movie theaters. Because, you know, what better way to take my mind off the hurricane damages than with a creepy killer clown movie? So I went to the theater, got my ticket, got in the seat. The movie was scheduled to start at 12:20, so I figured, okay, what, like 15 minutes of, you know, ads and whatnot? Probably start at like 12:35 or so. The movie froze on the please turn off your cell phones, you know, screen. And so we were just stuck sitting there for a while. At some point, an error message came on the screen, you know, bright white screen, blue cautionary triangle with an exclamation point. And so I was just curious because I saw, like, this looked like some kind of sort of oldish computer operating system. Because, you know, I figure that most, you know, theaters nowadays use digital software projections and whatnot. Like, you know, computers are shit for projecting movies. And when I looked down at the taskbar, it looked very old. And then I realized, wait, this theater uses Windows XP? Like, I'm not even kidding. Windows XP. That was like 3 operating systems ago. Mm-hmm. And this high-tech and this movie theater was using it to screen movies from 2017 on that shit. I'm like, the fuck?
That still works?
Ooh. But yeah, it eventually took until 1 o'clock for someone to come in and tell us, okay, look, they're unable to fix the issue. Come out to the lobby. We can give you a refund and a free pass to come back later. Which I did. I believe it was, I want to say, I think it was Friday when I eventually went back to the theater and I was finally able to watch It. And for the record, It was fucking great and you all need to watch it. And Bill Skarsgård needs several acting award nomination things. Also, Finn Wolfhard is cool as hell and I can't believe that's actually his real name. Yeah, that was a fun week. So, any fun stories on your end before we get into the song discussions?
Well, I'm kind of glad that the hurricane shifted further out to the west because we didn't get a whole lot here other than a little bit of rain and a little bit of wind. So, yeah. Other than that, though, just been the usual stuff. Working, sleeping, eating, rediscovering the greatness of the microwave show. You know, that one.
Yes, yes, that show. What about you, Mark? Because when I got wind of, like, the weather projections, it looked like it was really going to hit, like, Alabama or something.
Yeah, all we got is just rain and people are like, oh, it's going to hit us! Panic! All we got is rain. There isn't much shit happening. All, like, no power went off. Everything was fine. But other than that, I did the usual, just, you know, watch anime, write. Watch a lot of binge with Babish and Hot Ones, which now I like. Well, especially watching Danny Brown episode of Hot Ones.
That was Hobbisky. Great. Yeah, good for you people. You had access to luxuries that I was spotty in and out of. Yeah. But now we are back in business, so let's try to catch up on whatever happened this past week. There's some good stuff here, including a particularly hype one all the way at the very end. But yes, time to get into the new song discussion for this week. And as always, there'll be a playlist down in the description if you want to follow along with us. And this week, we shall let Mark kick off the discussion. So, go ahead.
Yes. Remember Bad, Bad, Not Good, who are actually great?
Yes, they are.
So yeah, they decided to drop a track this week. Not this week, along with Constantin, wanna try Confessions Part 3.
Ew.
Now, yeah, what is this track? Okay, now I gotta say this. What is the track? This is the track that I listened to so many times since it came out. It's like, I play this shit every day since it came out. Like, I gotta play it like right here. Like, I play it like this thing is something like the silence sounds so good. Like, Okay. The way it's constantly played at sax, that is some damn good sax. Everything about it was good. That the bass. It feels like I'm watching a neo noir film with that. This shit is great.
Lightning fast sax everywhere. Yeah, I actually used whatever access I had to the internet to actually finally get around to the Bad, Bad, Not Good discography, and having this song to follow it up on is, Yeah, that's sax, man. It's the sexiest sax that isn't played by the sexy sax man. But yeah, good.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, props to all y'all in Bad Bad Not Good. I am looking forward to your appearance at 3 points. Assuming a hurricane doesn't disrupt us that weekend.
Oh, shit.
But now, moving on to the next track on the list, we got another surprise track from the ever-so-enigmatic UK producer Burial. This one, a track called Rodent. And, well, this one, I think I remember the other two tracks that he had dropped, you know, like a surprise back in November, I want to say. There were, like, these kind of really weird experimental ambient, like, mood pieces. This one is more, like, it's got this bouncy, electronic, like, pulsating synths that are played up against these very weird, like, chopped and looped vocal samples. It's something that you could just kind of vibe out to and dance in a weird way. I like it.
Upbeat Burial. That's a weird combination, but honestly, this song, it makes me want to dance like Sweet D on the deck of their party boat.
What the hell is a Sweet...
That's an Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference.
Ah, yeah.
Season 7.
God, you're six, a fucking nerd.
Whatever the episode it is.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to those seasons eventually. Once I'm done with everything else. Any thoughts, Mark?
No, no thoughts.
Ah, all right. So, yeah, decent song. I'm wondering what other surprises he has in the pipeline, and I really got to get to his, you know, fucking music eventually. But moving on to a band that I completely forgot was a thing, and I have to keep reminding myself is a thing, even though I know I saw them live all the way back in 2012, and that would be Veil of Maya. They announced a new album coming out October 20th called Falsidal, and we've got the first single, Overthrow. And, you know, it certainly sounds like what I remember from that live show. You know, it comes out of the gate with that kind of, like, almost kind of a 6-8, like, D-beat type of thing with a lot of these very, you know, pretty sounding but also very heavy chord progressions. The chorus is, of course, that very genty groove kind of thing with some, you know, synthetic key accentuations. And then once it gets to more about halfway through, the groove becomes more slow and stomping, and of course there's those weird polyrhythmic accentuations, you know, where the drums sound like they're playing fast and loose while the guitars are maintaining this kind of, you know, pounding on 4-4, and then, you know, eventually the two lock in with each other. And well, I mean, yeah, it's Veil of Maya. I mean, I kind of like it, but it's not the most special thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is a pretty standard, genty metalcore kind of song, but it's also very effective, genty style metalcore. But I do have to ask two things. One, why does their bass player have to play a 7-string bass?
Because,
you don't,
dude,
need that many strings.
Actually, yes, he does. Everybody needs that many strings. Have you never seen a Rob Scallon video? That many strings is crucial for everything.
Yeah, but you don't need that. Never mind, moving on. But also I have to ask, this song is tuned down to F sharp. Why are they only playing 7-string guitars?
Why not?
Tension on the strings, on the neck. I know this stuff. Play an 8-string, you friggin' plebs, what I'm trying to say. Ugh.
Hey, man, Meshuggah did the same thing when they recorded Nothing. And before anyone tries to correct me, yes, I know they eventually released a re-recorded version of the album with 8-string guitars. My point still stands. Although very clearly Veil of Maya is not Meshuggah. If they were, I'd probably remember
clearly
them more.
Not. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, good song, but guys, seriously, get 8 strings.
Yeah, he's encouraging you to get more strings, even though he's encouraging the bass player to get less strings.
I'm saying this because the guitarists need thicker necks for the low strings, and a bass does not need a high G string.
I can tell you who needs a high G string, all right, but that would be telling.
Tyler.
Anyway, moving on to the next song, we have yet another new song from Adam Miron's upcoming November 3rd release, Et Liber Eris, this one titled Zona del Silencio. I don't know if that's Latin or Spanish, probably Spanish, but given the fucking album title, who knows. But yeah, this one, it opens with this kind of flangerly chorus, like, lead guitar intro, very moody and sounding. And then once it gets into the verses, it's very rhythmically off-kilter and kind of this weirdly, what's the word I'm looking for? Meditative kind of thing. Like, the lyrics sound like a descent into one's own, like, you know, mental psychoses. And thankfully, I was able to at least make out some of the lyrics in the actual video. Granted, they were kind of faded as hell in the background, but at least I noticed some of them. So that's the feeling I get. And then once it gets into, like, 3 minutes in, the song then picks up in heaviness and grooviness, especially, like, a minute later when there's some pretty, like, fast-paced rhythms with some offbeat syncopated chords, some fast tremolo chugging. And, yeah, this is just another masterful display of songwriting talents on the part of the band. This is definitely shaping up to be a killer November release.
Mm-hmm. They're still sounding very Opethian, like last time. That's a good thing, too. And I noticed the middle section of this song, that little middle section, I guess they breakdown, it sounded pretty genty to me, with some boosted highs on the bass lines. Are they trying to get sort of a periphery slash contortionist vibe going on here? Because that's what I'm picking up from it.
Possibly. I mean, I see Adamiran as sort of like mixing up things like the contortionist, Opeth, Gojira, all into one of the most delicious metal smoothies you've ever had.
If only I understood this abstract as crap concept they're putting in these songs. Like, I don't get it.
Hey man, what do you expect? It's prog metal. Do their lyrics ever make sense? I mean, I still don't understand the concept of Juggernaut, Alpha, and Omega. And I've read detailed breakdowns about that shit.
Well, to be fair, nobody understands Juggernaut.
I bet not even the band themselves.
Tell us, Spencer.
But yeah, with that out of the way, now is when we groove back into the very big middle chunk. This is our little Adult Swim catch-up piece, because, you know, we missed a week, so there was stuff to talk about. Starting with the past 2 weeks worth of Adult Swim singles programs. First up, this rapper, kind of R&B-ish rapper type guy named Odyssey. Can't say I've ever heard of him, but he dropped the single Never Lived. And I gotta say, man, this guy's flow is smooth like butter.
Yep. It feels pretty smooth on his here. And yeah, I do like what he's talking about, how, you know, basically the whole, I don't know, struggle to survive and eat, you know, how to stay alive, all that shit that, you know, we all heard before. But hey, it's good to hear about that shit. And surprisingly, the production is, I think I hear some, like, either some drums in there, or, you know, like drums, not like machine, you know.
Right, actual, like, drums, yeah. Like what I got in my room.
Yeah, we'll say the subject matter of it's decent. I like what he's saying here. Like, you know, I'm speaking from the purpose of the waste. I haven't eaten, not for hunger, but for taste. My name has changed, count pennies to account, amount plenty. For, you know, he says it better because he got a buffalo than I did. But yeah, he says some, you know, some good shit.
Yep, and again, goddamn, that flow. It's like, that's the kind of voice that just makes the panties drop. Which, to be fair, they probably do at Odyssey shows. If he does have shows.
I think he does. I think he's on tour as of now.
So, if anyone's seen him, can anyone confirm that little factoid for me? You know where to reach me on the, I don't know, by, like, snail mail or something. But yeah, and we now got our other song from this past week, the most recent, from the alternative / garage rock band Waves, or is it Waves? I don't know. It's two V's in there. It's like a designer or ears type pun or something. But they came out with a single, The Lung, and this is about, I want to say, 4 months after the last album came out, because I'm pretty sure the last album came out in May, from what I recall in the research and everything. But yeah, this one, like, when it starts off, it's got this kind of, like, simple drum beat with these low-key reverberating guitar chords that you almost kind of, like, barely notice, because it seems like most of the melody is being carried by this very carefree, layered vocal dynamic with these very lush, dreamy synths. And that's kind of the best way to describe the song as a whole. It's just a very, like, dreamy kind of garage rock song. But, of course, when it gets to the bridge, it definitely kicks in with more of the distorted guitars and everything. And it sounds more like just a bunch of dudes in a garage jamming out. The dream landscape kind of gets pushed back a bit. Kind of a short tune. I think it's only, like, 2.5 minutes. But it's a solid enough listen.
I don't know much to say about it. It's alternative garage rock that I've heard literally on the radio 1,000 times before, so maybe I'll get into it some other time, but right now, can't say much about it.
All I gotta say is, it's a decent track. Yeah, that's it. That's all I gotta say.
But now, we move on from Adult Swim singles to the most recent 2 pages of Doom's Missing Notebook Rhymes.
Yep. Even with the this time, Notebook 4 with guest Cool Keith. A name y'all heard before when I think he was doing some shit last year.
Yeah, I know he released a solo album last year, and then I think the year before he did that collab album with Orange. Or LaRange, however you pronounce it. That was a good album.
Now on this track, Notebook 4, I will say, I noticed something like the production. I will say it is like, you know, that boom bap sound, but more, you know, weird boom bap sound with mix of the usual Doom stuff. But I will say I did like Cool Keith's verse in the first beginning, like Batman and Robin, Head Bobbing, no Joker Penguin, kind of freezing like Mr. Freeze, kept him on the mind, the Batmobile, Alfred the Butler, doing that. I'm a duo busters. Oh, wait.
Get husbands. It? He really likes Batman.
Yes. Yeah, most of his verses are like, you know, Batman related shit. Well, what did he get concerned? Like, you know, Imbaduma's name is named after a comic book villain. But yeah.
Yeah, but that's Marvel, not DC.
Yeah. And Doom, and Doom's verse is kind of good too. Like more potent than the boss hair logo. Trees having seeing impulses like slow mo. Whoa, whole lot of funk, whole lot of drunk. Who knows? Could did a whole lot of bump with Donald Trump. He hear voice in his head. He got a jump. Not now. Too much lactose. Got a dump. That shit.
And as someone who's eaten quite a bit of boar's head in his life, I can't confirm that Doom is correct about that logo. But yeah, I liked it too. A fun little song. And then we got, after that, there was Notebook 5, which features the return of his Victor Vaughn persona, specifically.
Yep, we'll say this. Damn, this is short. Like, this is the...
Yeah, it's only like...
It's like a minute and 30 seconds. It's like basically length of an anime opening.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like,
in fact, are we sure this isn't actually an upcoming anime intro? Come on. One of y'all weeaboos out there in J-Pan could make this happen.
I will say, like, the buzzer sounds like... It does sound like some circus shit. Like I'm hearing some... It's like when you come to a circus, you hear something like that. And, okay, as for, you know, Mr. Victor Vaughn... He's put some good shit here too, like a big roll for Dolo, chuck the dice and force all the numbers to the truck ice. Just suggesting from the best, fuck your price, avoid the whole mess, get stuck to the sheet. Shit, damn, I can't see. I don't know what the fuck that says. I'm stuck.
Yeah, shit. I can't blame you. It's Doom.
Yeah,
but you know, short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah,
and that concludes our Adult Swim catch up. Hopefully nothing happens in the next week and we can get back to being just right on schedule.
Yeah.
But moving on to our last chunk of songs, the electronic music producer Fortet, a name I vaguely recall from having his music used in some, I believe, Adult Swim action promos. I'd have to try to find the specific one, but I'm sure his music's been used in that shit. Has been dropping, like, a few tracks here and there. I haven't paid much attention to them, but I decided here because, you know, why not? Spice things up a little bit. It turns out Forte'd is dropping a new album, New Energy, due out at the end of the month, September 29th. And we got a new song from that album called Scientists. You know, because science, energy, they do good things. But yeah, this song, like I said, I'm not wholly familiar with the entire backlog of Forte'd, but I'm listening to this one, you know, kind of opening with the skittering hi-hat rhythms, some very bouncy, beautiful-sounding synths. There's kind of this ethereal vocal line that comes in it, too. And then the song gets this kind of ambient bridge with these little harp-like strings and eerie synths. And even close to the end, there's, like, some weird, like, trumpeting situations. But listening to the whole thing, the main thing I started thinking was, this must be the kind of guy that Lord Raja gets his influences from.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I see what this dude is doing. Like, I can see what Roger getting from that. I will say, yeah, this reminds me of something I hear on Adult Swim. Like, I hear that sound like, I can see that on a, like one of those,
the Nature promos?
Yeah, Nature promos. Like, I can see that shit playing on Nature promo.
So beautiful. Even though nature is boring, let's watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force on our smartphones. Or whatever the fuck they're doing in place of Carl Stone Cold Lock of a Century in a Week. But yeah, you know, pretty solid song. And that reminds me, I gotta dive into Bump Worthy sometime soon just to verify whichever promo his song might have been in. But moving on, so... Okay, finally, we have some kind of another release date for the upcoming release from shock rocker Marilyn Manson, which was originally slated to come out Valentine's Day, titled Say Number 10. Get it? It's a pun. But now the album is set for an October 6th release, and it's titled Heaven Upside Down. And we have a new single and video from that album with the title We Know Where You Fucking Live, which would sound so much more threatening if it wasn't for the fact that this is one of the most blindingly obvious things any music artist could say. I mean, think about it. Dude, like, people will probably... You probably have, like, an online store, probably several, where people order merch and CDs and shit, you know, to have shipped to their houses, so it makes sense that you, or maybe your managers, have access to a database or something with your fans' addresses, or the addresses of anybody who could conceivably be listening to the song. It's not much of a threat, it's like, motherfucker, you better know where I live, otherwise you're gonna be delivering my shit to, like, whoever lives on 420th Street and, I don't know, 69th whatever. But yeah, that's just a pointless rant, because I don't really have much to say about this song. It's just, hey, have you ever heard literally any other Marilyn Manson song? You remember the style from, like, Mechanized Animals or Antichrist Superstar? Yeah, congratulations, you basically have, like, B-sides from that here. And, of course, it's worth noting that apparently Tyler Bates is still playing guitar with this guy. Because I guess he needed something to do once he finished up with Samurai Jack. But yeah, this is just, it's Manson, you know. If you still are into this kind of, like, edgelord shtick or whatever, you know what you're getting into. Although I gotta say about the music video, for the love of Christ, dude, stop mugging at the fucking camera. Fucking hurts my eyes.
Now, I have to ask, I thought we were collectively done with Marilyn Manson. Did something happen? I was just unaware of it.
Well, I mean, he toured with Slipknot earlier this year, so I guess he still has... No, wait, not earlier this year, like 2 years ago. So I guess he still has fans?
I guess. Well, yeah, this song sounds pretty 90s industrial metal, which is neat. Like, the song itself is kind of in one ear, out the other, but... I don't know if it was just me who thought of this, but the chorus of the song sounded like something off of Chinese Democracy.
Ugh.
Like, it has that same kind of feel and beat and chord progression to it. It reminds me of, well, the chorus from Chinese Democracy.
And unfortunately, there's no Buckethead guitar solo here or promises of free Dr. Pepper. God, remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
That was fucking weird. You know, maybe we need to get Mountain Dew to do some kind of thing with Tool for their new album. But speaking of songs that were kind of in one ear and out the other, we got a new Weezer track this past week. This one, again, from their October 27th album, Pacific Daydream. Now, we had, of the prior two singles, we had Feels Like Summer, which was an annoying 21 Pilots knockoff. And then we had Mexican Fender, which I thought was okay. I mean, at least I actually remember the melodies and the chorus and everything. As for this song, a song titled Beach Boys, which, as the name implies, is a tribute to the Beach Boys. This one's just kind of, again, it's one of those songs that's just kind of in one ear and out the other. Shit, if you asked me to hum, like, the melody or, like, imitate the chord progression or anything, I just couldn't do it, man. This is just, like, there.
And what's with this continuing 21 Pilots wannabe nonsense I'm hearing, and why does this song give me Uma Thurman vibes?
I don't know. Was there, like, any Uma Thurman or, like, weird samples in there? Because I was too, like, zoned out to actually pay too much attention to this song when listening. And I listened to it, like, 3 times.
It's just talking about something that the narrator is reminded of, and it's just, bad song. Bad song. Bad Weezer. Go to the corner.
Yeah, it seems like they're falling back into the Ratitude trap, although, dear God, I really hope that even if it's bad, it's not, like, Ratitude bad from what I've heard. Jeez. But, thankfully, that wasn't the last song we had to cop out on. We have one more song here, and this is the big one. And, oh, thank God, we finally get to end one of these song discussions on, like, a super big high note. Ladies and gentlemen, we have once again been graced by new music from the greatest human being who ever lived, the most wonderful person on the face of the earth, Space Ghost's wife herself, Ms. Bjork. Yes, so for the past few weeks or so, past month or so, she dropped pre-orders for an album that didn't have, like, a name or album artwork or even a track list. Then she gave a couple of interviews where she described it as her, quote, Tinder record, which hopefully doesn't mean getting unsolicited dick pics. Or is that Snapchat? I don't know. And then we finally got not just the single, but the actual name of the album and a time frame. Her latest release, her follow-up to 2015's Vulnicura, is titled simply Utopia. It's due out sometime in November, from what I heard. And we have the first single, The Gate. And goddamn, is this just such a beautiful sounding song. Since she's still working with producer Arca, this song will sound right at home for those who remember Vulnicura. It's kind of just the natural continuation from there. You know, there's kind of this intro of, like, these airy, very lush layered vocals with some touches of flute in there and these minimal bursts of synths, which kind of continues into the verses where it's just mainly Bjork's own vocals singing about, like, this relationship that she's in or she's probably getting out of, with these light, again, bursts of accentuation. Like, again, if you heard Arca's solo material, especially his most recent album, which came out, I don't know how long ago, I think back in April, yeah, the style will be more familiar with the sparse but still impactful, you know, production. And Bjork's vocals as she's belting out lyrics like, I care for you, care for you, with these really kind of off-kilter rhythmic accentuations, complemented with these kind of quick bursts of ascending synths, and these weird, more poetic kinds of lyrics like, splatter light beams into prisms that will reunite if you care for me, and mainly towards the back half of the song, the production does pick up more. There's these more lush, almost kind of operatic vocal layerings and these synth melodies that are just very big and sweeping. It's just, it's a very beautiful sounding song. She always, like, writes great music like this, especially with her last couple of albums. So it looks like Utopia is shaping up to probably be yet another essential Bjork entry, if y'all know what I mean.
Yeah, I look at the song. It's very beautiful sounding. I kind of dug it. Like, wow, this is so, I don't know, very mesmerizing.
I'm telling you, man, Space Ghost has taste. Taste Ghost, if you will. I don't know why I said that.
I don't know either.
Neither do I.
But yeah, unless anyone else has any other thoughts to add.
I don't have much to say about Mrs. Bjork Ghostel, so yeah, good stuff.
So that basically wraps up the song discussion for this week, and thank God we finally get to end on something good, but we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we got a mixture of news, a lot, some bad, some good, some just plain head-scratching. So, yeah, see you in a bit. And we're back from the break. So, Getting into the news this past week. Okay, so how many of y'all out there, you savvy metal underground veterans, are familiar with the little group called Infant Annihilator? Maybe you heard of them. They are quite viral throughout the internet and metal and memeing communities for basically being the new Anal Cunt in terms of their over-the-top offensiveness, except for the part where Infant Annihilator actually writes music I want to listen to, but that's a whole nother discussion. Now, apparently, they've recently been the victims of having their music taken down from Spotify as a result of its content. Now, it's kind of unclear why exactly this was the case. Now, obviously, according to the note posted by the band on their Facebook, the message they got from TuneCore, you know, the service that helps bands push music onto multiple streaming services, they said, "Thanks for writing. We received notice from Spotify that they made the internal decision not to keep this music live there, and we've made the internal decision to remove it from iTunes as well. Per their terms and conditions, stores may remove certain content if they deem it too offensive, and or if they receive multiple complaints from customers." Now, just to point out, iTunes apparently, Spotify still has, like, the music of Anal Cunt there. And bands like, Prostitute Disfigurement. So, now, you might, maybe there's a part of you that hates Infant Annihilator enough that you agree with this decision, or maybe you disagree with it just on pure principles, or freedom of speech, or whatever the fuck, but, like, I'm just kind of scratching my head at the inconsistency here, because if you still got Anal Cunt on Spotify, but not Infant Annihilator, what gives you the heads up to one over the other? Unless you just happen to miss one.
I'm in the camp of, wow, I really don't care, and I would actually rather listen to good music instead of whatever the hell this was. Seriously, there was like a Bandcamp leak in this Metal Sucks article. I gave it a listen. I heard like the sound of like an infant child being choked and dying and being disemboweled for like a minute. I'm going, this is music? What is this, what you humans call music nowadays?
Hey, congratulations, you picked up on why they call themselves that now.
If you want to bother me with any of this, bother me with real offensive music, like apparently to some people, Triple X and Tentacion.
This guy. Yeah, before you ask, no, we don't have time to get into the bait and switch he pulled with the "look at me" music video, air quotes. Apparently, there's been other shit that's been making its way to, front and center. So, we've gotten some, everybody knows that he's gotten into quite a bit of legal trouble here and there, including most famously punching a pregnant woman. But now, he's got a trial set for October 5th, and we've unfortunately got some very, very explicit charges, courtesy of Pitchfork obtaining a 142-page transcript of testimony from the victim here. There's a lot to go through here, but here's some of basically the gist of what happened here. So, reportedly, the victim had met with X, like, way back in May 2016. The two were kind of hitting it off a bit at first, but once they moved in, 2 weeks after they moved in, he basically slapped her and broke his iPhone 6 because he was an insecure little shit. He grabbed a barbecue pitchfork and a barbecue cleaner and demanded that she choose one to go inside her vagina, but that thankfully didn't happen. And then he acted more violently around her around July 2016. They moved to Orlando. And, that obviously didn't improve things. Now, apparently, X decided to get in a fight with her because a week after they moved together to Orlando, there was a point where they were listening to one of his songs in the car, and she was humming along to a verse from a featured artist on the track. No word on what exactly that track was. But then they got into a fight. He headbutted her, punched her, stomped on her, and continued hitting and kicking her in the bathtub. I've heard of insecurity, but wow, this guy is a fucking piece of shit.
Oh my god.
Then, in August, I believe of 2016 as well, he got arrested for separate reasons, charged with home invasion, yada yada. The woman called her mother to pick her up and then went to stay with a friend in Texas. But as soon as she got to, to Texas, then she returned to South Florida. Her planned accommodations fell through, and she ended up having to live with some of X's friends. And around this time, she had sex with another man, and this is where, the pregnancy got in. But apparently, once X got out of jail, they moved back in together somewhere in North Miami. More threats involving a knife, calling her a hoe. Fucking threatening to, quote, fuck you up. Apparently in regards to the affair and the pregnancy and all that shit. Then, a couple week later, they moved to an apartment in Sweetwater. Two incidents that involved him, beating the shit out of her. Then, in October 2016, is when she found out she was pregnant by X. Apparently, it was planned by both of them. Let's see here. God, this is fucking making my stomach sick to read.
I really don't want to read no more.
There was even a point where, he confronted her about the pregnancy, and X said, quote, "You need to tell me the truth right now, or I'll kill you and this jit." Jit referring to the kid. He started beating the shit out of her until she almost passed out.
Oh, my God.
This hurts. This fucking hurts. Eric Andre was right.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I can't read no more of this
shit. The moral here is, listen to Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress. They will out you.
Yeah. Eventually, at a certain point in October, following all of this shit, hell, she was even, basically locked in a room in the bathroom for, a couple days. Shit, X even stole her phone so she couldn't communicate with anyone. Around 2 a.m. on October 8th, X was in the living room of the apartment playing Minecraft and using... Oh, of course, fucking Minecraft. So it's fucking Minecraft, these people, swear to God. She let him know she was going into the kitchen, make some food. She opened the fridge door wide enough so he couldn't see her. She crouched down. Then she opened a side door and basically bolted to the street. No money, called the only number she had. She called an ex-boyfriend of hers. And then eventually they contacted the police department, and that's basically where all these charges end. I sincerely hope bad things happen to X.
Yeah, it's just... Why has there been so many stories of bad people doing bad things between PewDiePie being an idiot / racist, Trump being Trump, and X being just a abusive pile of fecal matter? What's wrong with the world? Next thing you know, you're going to tell me Tim Lambesis is out of jail and he's going to reform as he lay dying.
Or you're going to tell me that Decapitated are arrested for gang raping a woman in Washington.
Or you're going to tell me that...
Or you're going
to tell me that chick from that chick that did the Cash Me Outside shit was on the Atlantic Records.
But unfortunately, we only have time to cover one of these things. One of these
And I'm going to say, man, fuck you, Triple X to test you, stupid fucker. And this is the most you Miami, the most you Florida rappers who be fucking up. That include and that's ain't going to Kodak Black, you too, motherfucker, and this other motherfucker named Lil Pump. Yeah, fuck you too.
The South Florida is a disgrace to the genre. But yeah, moving on to the next story, fucking Tim Lambesis. Remember him? He, fronted a Christian band, preached Christian ideals, proceeded to hire a hitman to murder his wife.
Oh, God.
And ended up going to jail. Shit, we covered him this time last year, where it turns out there was some weird medical lawsuit he was trying to get into, because apparently he ended up getting moobs.
Steroids. Oh, yeah, damn.
They'll fuck you up. Oh, God.
So, he was released from prison in December last year. And since he got remarried, who the fuck would marry this guy?
Who made that nigga?
What happened?
After all that shit.
Like, this is proof that brainwashing technology is real. But anyway, for the most part, he stayed out of the public eye, save for a status posted to social media 2 months ago underneath the As LA Dang banner. And confirming this, Rockfeed reports that someone with knowledge on the matter has reported that he is indeed working on new music and planning to release it under the As I Lay Die moniker. Now, naturally, this will be a start with completely new members of the band, since, as I'm sure we all remember, all the instrumentalists teamed up with one of the dudes from O Sleeper to form Woven War, a band that I just don't really care much for. But yeah, we don't really have identities on these new members, but I'm just saying, no one's going to give you the odds that you're going to come back from this. This is basically going to be like a fucking Ronnie Radke scenario. Remember him? I bet you don't.
I have things to say about this. Okay, first off, Brian Slagle, just get rid of this guy from Metal Blade. You don't want to be associated with him. Nobody should be associated with him. This Tim Lambesis trying to reform As I Lay Dying after serving time in prison for, trying to hire a hitman to rub out his ex-wife. Like, who would want to be associated with that? That's like if the guy from Lost Prophets, if he ever got out of prison for doing the things he did, decided, you know what, I'm going to reform this band with new members. Nobody is going to do that. Nobody wants to be associated with that kind of toxic poison. It's just...
No one does.
Look. An Ocean Between Us, great album. I saw As I Lay Dying live a couple years ago. They were great. Then all the shit went down, and I decided, okay, you know what? I'm done. Done. Disavowed. Not going to bother with them. Just... I did not want us to come back and talk about all these really depressing stories. At least I'm glad that I can do another show on this site where I can talk about things that make me happy, like anime.
Can I just say, like, before we get to that next story, and sorry for ruining the segue, but, like, fuck, I'm trying to remember how long ago this was, because as soon as the news broke out, I'll admit, I haven't touched an As I Lay Dying album since.
It's been a while.
But yeah, let's move on.
He's been in prison for 2.5 years.
Yep.
Damn.
Let's move on to some good shit.
Yeah, at least that long.
Hey, let's move on to some good shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of good shit.
And now is where we move on to the last two stories. And this is what we call the podcast O&A portion of the show, where anime just happens to cross over
music
into our general area of interest. Yes. And the one bright spot this week, so, okay. Coming up soon in the month of October, I believe October 13th or maybe the week afterwards, I'm not entirely sure, but sometime in October, we have one of the most anticipated blockbuster films of the year, and that is the highly anticipated Blade Runner 2049. Anticipated for a great deal of reasons, who doesn't like seeing Harrison Ford being awesome in movies, sequel to a great classic science fiction film adaptation, not to mention being helmed by director Denis Villeneuve, who had one of the most critically acclaimed films of, I believe, 2016 with his debut directorial feature, Arrival, which was a pretty good movie. I'll admit, I watched it because I know it was nominated for, like, Best Picture that year, and it was a pretty solid film. So, a lot of hype behind this thing. And while, unfortunately, composer Johan Johansson has been fired from the production, which, oh dear God, that means they're going to have Hans Zimmer back on this shit. We thankfully have some good news. So, a couple of prequel short films have been released currently, tying in, you know, between the first Blade Runner and the second. And now we have a third one that's coming out sometime soon. It's a short called Blade Runner Blackout 2022. It's supposed to be a more direct tie-in between, you know, the two stories. It involves a large power outage on the west coast of the United States. And most interestingly, the short is being helmed directorially by none other than a man who probably owes the entirety of his career to the existence of Blade Runner, Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo director Shinichiro Watanabe.
Hell yes!
But wait, there's more!
And just to add on to the awesomeness of it, in addition to Mr. Watanabe, you know, directing the project, him being a man of fine musical taste, he has to get just the finest musician out there to do the composing job for him. And who did he get? Why, none other than motherfucking Flying Lotus.
Yeah!
Fly low, son.
So, yeah. We got a Blade Runner short from Cowboy Bebop director and Fly Low composing the music. Boy, anime of the year.
I'm excited. I want to see this now. I'm excited. This made me happy again. Yeah. I'm happy now. Yay!
I'm telling you, man, this is gonna be fucking sweet. And now I just have to watch the original film, whichever one of the 8 fucking cuts out there is the best one.
I need to watch that too.
Yeah, but man, and the film actually comes out October 6th. I didn't notice that at the bottom of the fucking article because I'm dumb at reading. But yeah, whenever this short comes out, shit, I don't see a date here for it, damn. Hey folks, Robert here. Sorry to interrupt from the main recording, but I just had to update this story with something real quick. Turns out a release date was given for Blade Runner Blackout 2022. The short will be screened through Crunchyroll and Verve on Tuesday, September 26th, in all territories outside of Asia. So that is when you'll be able to finally feast your eyes on what I'm sure is going to be an absolute glorious piece of short anime goodness. Now, back to the main show. I think it says, like, it's coming out possibly October 27th, because I know that's when the film comes out in Japan.
Is that movie opening just in Japan, or just...
No, like, I'm assuming it's going to coincide with the Japanese release, possibly. But yeah, good to know Mr. Watanabe has some work, you know, after everyone got really pissed off at Terror in Resonance for some fucking reason.
Yeah, I don't know why. Really? You think that's the worst shit? I see worse shit in 2014. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't want to go away because I already know what it is.
Yeah.
And Alex does too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay then.
Yeah.
And speaking of anime.
Yeah.
Right. So, quick little tangent here. So, as I said, the stuff I downloaded offline from Netflix to keep me company for you know, the power outages from the hurricane. So, in addition to, you know, BoJack, I had ended up getting Little Witch Academia, which I'm still just have to watch the last 2 episodes. Really legitimately charming show. Probably the most charming thing I've seen in a long ass time. Thank God for Studio Trigger.
Yay!
And again, of course, Castlevania. That one I ended up watching all the way through. Pretty good show. Music's kind of underwhelming. Animation a little stiff at times, but 4 episodes of pretty entertaining material there. So, you know, Netflix has been, you know, throwing themselves behind some quality animation projects. Like I said, I really like Little Witch Academia and Castlevania, so who knows what the hell else they could possibly have down the pipeline. Because, I mean, I know everyone's just dying to watch Big Mouth, as it were.
What the hell is that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't greenlight Netflix shows. But we have another anime-inspired project that was announced actually a couple weeks ago, but we're only getting to it now, dropping this Friday, in fact, September 22nd. They will be premiering a new anime series called Neo Yokio. It is the brainchild of none other than Vampire Weekend vocalist guitarist Ezra Koenig. Or is it Koenig? I don't fucking know how you pronounce that dude's name. But this was originally pitched as a project for the animation definition high def block that Fox had. Remember that? That thing that had Axe Cop and
that major laser show.
Handy Quacks.
And Lucas Brothers, which Legend of the you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't.
I kind of do. Well, maybe Lucas Brothers, but the other show, I don't know.
Legend of the Hidden Temple, that's what I'm trying to think of. You can think that revival for Lucas Brothers.
But yeah, so Ezra Koenig, you know, helming and producing the project. Now, as for his collaborators, this is being produced in collaboration with both Production IG and Studio Dean, as well as South Korean studio MOI, or MOI, I'm assuming it's pronounced. And as far as the actual directorial work on this, he's got some pretty big heavy hitters on his side. Perhaps the biggest name being animation director, storyboarder icon Kazuhiro Furuhashi. For, in case you need a refresher on who that is, he's collaborated primarily a lot with Studio Dean on various projects, including having done storyboarding and directorial work for Ranma Half alongside fellow director Junji Nishimura, who's also working on this as well. Perhaps he is most famous for helming the directorial seat on every single anime iteration of the Rurouni Kenshin series, yes, including the OVAs, the original 1999 adaptation of Hunter x Hunter, and lest you think he's slacked off or hasn't gotten any big projects in a while, most recently he has handled the directorial work for Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn, including the television adaptation RE0096, and the 2017 anime series Altair, A Record of Battles, which I've heard was just average.
Oh yeah, that show does only on Amazon.
Yeah, that one. So I guess he's getting work from streaming services. Now, I just need you to keep that in mind. We have a guy who's helmed some good shows in his days, and we have two big animation studios who've produced quite a bit of visually quality stuff. What was So can someone tell me why the fuck this show actually looks like it was produced by the Z team at Studio Perot?
It looks some cheap Canadian shit.
That's not the question you should be asking. The question you should be asking is, how did Jaden Smith get involved with this?
Dude, that's like the least weird thing about this, because Jaden Smith will put his name on fucking anything. So that I'm not concerned with. But again, dude, like, Furuhashi, dude, did you not, like, have... Do you have gambling debts you need to pay off, and you're just desperate for any sort of money you can? Like, you can get your hands on?
Okay, yeah, you have to look at this cast list. Jaden Smith, Susan Sarandon, Ike Barinholtz, Jude Law, Steve Buscemi,
Jason Schwartzman.
Deez and Mero? What the fuck?
And
yeah, Deez and Mero.
And the woman who whips her hair back and forth, Willow Smith.
Yeah, like, God, okay.
What is this?
I'm looking at the promotional poster right now on the Anime News Network page, and I'm just looking at this picture of Jaden Smith's character. Hang on, let me see what the name of his character is.
Kaz Khan,
the youngest member of a family of air quotes magistocrats, pink-haired demon slayers once liberated the city. And God, this thing looks like this art style looks like. God, what am I thinking here?
Kappa Mikey like, shit.
It's fucking Kappa Mikey. Like, this is like halfway between Kappa Mikey and the really bad-looking Legend of Korra episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the ones Perot produced.
Yeah, damn. Yeah.
Yeah, And as for the rest of the plot synopsis, so, okay, Neo-Yokio, most populous urban agglomeration in North America. I'm actually reading this from Netflix's description. God damn, this is hurting my tongue. Today, demon slaying is barely more than a side hustle for Kaz, coordinated by Aunt Agatha, played by Susan Sarandon. Kaz himself would rather concern himself with shopping, field hockey, and of course, mending his broken heart. Aww. Always by Kaz's side are his faithful mecha butler Charles, played by Jude Law, and his inseparable friends Lexi and Gottlieb, played by Deez and Mero. As he navigates the complexities of life in Neo-Yokio and tries to stay one step ahead of his arch-rival, Neo-Yokio's most number one eligible bachelor, Arcangelo Corelli, played by Jason Schwartzman. I'm guessing he's not playing like an alternate universe version of his character from fucking Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew he was going to say that. I was going to say fucking thing.
Oh, man. Wow, I'm that predictable, aren't I? Or I guess the show is just that predictable. Things take a mysterious turn when Kaz is drawn into a turbulent world of ex-fashion blogger Helena St. Desario, played by Tavi Gevinson, setting in motion a sequence of events that force him to question everything he knows about Neo-Yokio, such as, why the fuck is he always carrying around a big old bar of Toblerone?
Okay. And that was the first time in anime history, or somewhat history, I heard the phrase, old money fuckboys using anime.
What is this? Ghost Stories? The ADV dub?
Hey, Ghost Stories was awesome.
But, like, oh my god. Like, again, I'm still trying to comprehend how you get top tier studio talent and the directorial efforts of two icons in the industry, and you end up churning out something like this. It looks so bad. So bad.
We are gonna be in something.
I mean, by one of the biggest production studios in anime. Like, you get production at G, you got Moy, and you know what? I ain't got much about Dean because I don't like Dean. I don't steal Dean anyway. Their work ain't shit to me. But damn, I mean, at least some stuff look better than this.
It could be worse. They could have gotten with Studio Arms.
Oh, damn.
And urine puddles everywhere.
Oh, fuck.
And camel toe.
Well, to be fair, God. Yeah, but, you know, September 22nd, you'll be able to watch all of this in all its glory. Oh, boy. Yeah, just, I'm not sure I have any more words.
Nope.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out here how, like, Netflix has licensed some pretty good stuff this past year. Again, like, you've had Castlevania, you've had Little Witch Academia, you've had Season 4 of BoJack, and then they just turn around and do this. I call betrayal.
Betrayal!
Y'all better hope... Netflix, y'all better hope they animate the rest of shit y'all licensed for months to come. Better be better than what you got this shit. I hope this show will be at least, like, fun to laugh at. At least, you know.
The key word is laugh at and not laugh with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was funny for, you know, reasons. God, this show's gonna hurt my eyes to watch. But now we gotta... That takes care of all the news, so we have to move on to the new album releases for the week of September 22nd, 2017, of which there's quite a handful here. Some good stuff here and there. So starting from the top, we have the third album from Noise Rockers Metz with Strange Peace. New album from electronic rock act Cut Copy with Haiku from Zero. Post-rock act Godspeed You Black Emperor with their new album Luciferian Towers. Post-hardcore act Circus Survive with their newest release The Amulet. Electronic post-hardcore rock act Enter Shikari with The Spark. The newest album from goth metalers Cradle of Filth with Cryptoriana, The Seductiveness of Decay. Black metalers Satyricon with their new album Deep Calleth Upon Deep. Singer Chelsea Wolf with her new album His Spun. Black metal band Wolves in the Throne Room with their newest album Thrice Women. The new Mastodon EP Cold Dark Place. We have The Killers with their newest album Wonderful Wonderful. Apparently, Fergie decided to drop a new album this week called Double Duchess, And last, and certainly least, we have the new solo album from Macklemore with Gemini.
Oh.
Okay.
I anticipate some salt in the future. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
But now, that takes care of that, so now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Same place as always, or I've asked you on Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat, Reel to Reel, Carrier Pigeon, Telegram, and direct your hate mail to SlowyJoey46.
And Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, via Mac to Hybrid Media, and on my site, the Mount Hybrid One at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. And hey, I got some new shit, I got new reviews of Blue Witch Academia and a race and a lot of wee bear caps and shit.
Yeah, that's the yeah. Now, as for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. You can contact me via email, robert@surrealresolution.com. If you have any queries, fan mail, hate mail, or, you know, send me memes that are actually funny and not this elf on the shelf bullcrap. God, I hate forced memes. Of course, subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes come out every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel. Just be sure to search Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Sure to subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're always notified when new episodes of the podcast go up there. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution. Follow on Twitter at Surreal Rezo, like us on Facebook, visit us online, www.surrealresolution.com, and find the podcast on its subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Be sure to listen to all the archives of our past episodes, as well as our other great podcasts as well. If you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. If you like anime, check out Podcast O&A. Be sure to check out...
We're going
to
talk more about Neo Yokio, so tune in, everybody. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun on the bun. Now, be sure to check out a lot of our great Ring content. I finally managed to get out a review for Miracles Mad Edits, which I wanted to do earlier, but the fucking hurricane fucked my shit up for various reasons, so sorry for that delay. Sometime this week, I'll also have a review up for the PS4 release of the puzzle game Maze. I've been playing it a bit so far. It's weird, but I kind of like it, and pretty funny in spots. Of course, be sure to jump into the Discord chat as well, because we need something to do in there. And, of course, as always, shout-out to producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week, and so begins year two of whatever the fuck this bullshit even is. So, until next time, thank you, Bjork.